Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
How many know our mission statement, right? It's inviting people to forget dead religion, experience God, and thrive in Jesus. And who gets excited about forgetting dead religion, right? It's like, yeah, let's do this. But I was thinking about this last night, and I'm like, how many times do we get so focused on forgetting dead religion that we ignore what true religion is? Now the room got silent, right? I mean, what the word religion means in our modern day language can have an idea maybe of a bunch of rules and things that you just earning God's love and that kind of thing, and it feels stressful. And we believe in relationship with God, amen? So I'm not saying something against that, but in the scriptures in James, it says true religion, and that word religion means devotion or worship. It means a couple other things too, but those are the ones I think highlighted are in this verse. It means true religion is caring for the widow and the orphan and not letting the world stain you. And so in our church, we love to focus on freedom. We love to focus on experiencing God, growing and maturing in our relationship in God. But if all we do is focus on that, we're missing out on what true religion is. Amen. And so this morning we get the honor of hearing what true religion is. Everyone say true religion. This hopefully will be the most religious talk you have ever heard in the history of our church this morning. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. If you didn't get that joke, don't fear not. We're not going backwards in our theology or freedom, all right? But I don't remember the reference right here, but it says, you know, if God sets you free, you're not just supposed to be free in your flesh, right? It talks about God's freedom, and then it goes on to talk about the greatest commandment of loving God and loving others. So you get set free, and then you choose to love. Amen? And so often we get stuck in the getting set free. And you might spend your whole life just trying to get set free when God is saying he sets you free so that you can love him and love others. Again, that true religion, right? Are you guys following? So this morning we have a special opportunity to not just talk about that, but actually hear from someone that we have supported. I actually was trying to count. I couldn't count how long. I believe it's over 15 years. I know it's over 15 years. It may be over 20. I'm not sure. That we have partnered with in Malawi. He is a pastor of a church there. It's much more than a church. They feed orphans. They've had a farm. They've had crusades. They've seen the dead be raised. And it's just a special opportunity to get outside of our bubble. Can everyone just poke their bubble? Maybe we can pop the bubble a little bit. And we're going to pop the bubble. We're going to open up our eyes to see how God is moving around the world and his heartbeat of caring for the widows, the orphans, and not letting the world stain us. All right? Does that sound good? So Pastor Brian, we're going to give the mic to you. And then depending on how that goes, I'll either hop back up here or we'll figure something out. Okay? So come on up, Pastor. And can we just stand on our feet and honor him?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Hannah and Brian, and also our Pastor Elizabeth and Tom and everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, back in Africa, we say hallelujah on top of our voices so that God can hear us. Hallelujah.
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 You know, hallelujah doesn't cost you anything, but it only puts the doctors away from your house. Hallelujah. Okay, I will share you briefly of what is happening in Malawi. Malawi is a small country on the southern part of Africa. And we are so glad to have a president now who is a born-again believer. He used to be the president of the Assemblies of God in Malawi for many, many years. He's a Bible teacher and everything. And when I was in Bible school, I remember for 1 month he taught me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Malawi, like other countries today, is going through so many challenges. But I know that to every challenge, there is always a God who can answer it, as Pastor Hannah has lightly said, that because before there was hunger, there was food. So we are going through so many things, and sometimes we cannot just afford to just sit back and watch. As the name of the church is Reach Out for Christ, it means for us to be the hands, the eyes, the feet, and everything for God. Recently, maybe in February, March, we had a big cyclone. Many of you might have heard it or seen some pictures on the internet. It was so huge that Malawi has never experienced that. That includes Malawi, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, even South Africa. Hundreds or thousands of people lost their lives. There were floods all over. Even the main roads in Malawi were washed away by the floods. And the government, by the help of well-wishers, hired helicopters to come and rescue a lot of people that were still hanging on tree tops. And we, as a small church, we did not sit back, but we went and helped the situation. We asked all our members to look into their closets, their wardrobes, to find whatever they can. And we gathered all those clothings and everything that we could, and we went and distributed to the areas that were much affected. Fortunately enough, the place where I live in Blantyre, which is also the financial district of Malawi or the capital, wasn't affected much, even though we had severe rainstorms. But there is a place which we call the Lower Shire. It is so flat, no mountains, but it is down. And waters that come from Lake Malawi, we've got a lake, a beautiful lake. I wish you all came to Malawi and see this lake. It's 365 miles long and 45 miles width. And it has got only one outlet. And that outlet runs down to this place I'm talking about, Lower Shire. And tons and tons, if I can use that word, if it's allowed, of waters, like even more than the Niagara Falls that I saw, went down to this place and filled all the area. And people and livestock and crops, they were all washed away. And because of that, people are suffering from waterborne diseases like malaria and dysentery and all those things. But after the waters had gone down, people needed to plant, because when the waters came, it was soon after, or maybe 2 months after they had planted their corn, which was at then a knee high, and everything was washed. And people, as I'm speaking now, they don't have anything, and with the inflation that is on now, there is a lot of need. We need to support these people, to help them to get some seeds and fertilizers so that they can plant again. But our church there, with the help from here, we are trying our best to find clothes for them, because some of them, when they were running away from the flood, they left everything they had. So we are here. I came here with my wife, Dorothy, who has just gone back to Indianapolis, but our mission here this time is to try to find some help in form of clothing, even blankets, and whatever we can find so that when we go back home, we can distribute to them. We are looking for clothes and even finances to send these things home, because it costs a lot to send a bale or barrels of clothes home. But on top of that, we are also thinking ahead, and that is to do something within Malawi, within our powers, by God's grace, to start a small business that can help us to learn the ministry and help the people. But for us to start that, we need also some financial help. We need to raise broiler chickens. Soon after the flood, or after the flood, or during the flood, a lot of animals, cows were washed. And this area, it's the place where they raise cattle for beef and grow sugarcane and grow a lot of maize. And at the moment, there is need, a much bigger need for beef and for chickens. So we thought that maybe if we can come in and raise the chickens, sell, and maybe also by helping the people feed on the chicken, we can also help the ministry to raise some funds and cover so many needs we have. And even looking further than that, we are also thinking of with the money that will be realized from this business, we can also go and minister to the people. We have got 2 years, 3 years. When I was here, the church bought for us here equipment to show the Jesus film. We want to use the equipment to go and deliver the gospel to the people who needs it most. And those are the people in the villages, people who, some of them have never even seen a picture of Jesus or heard about Jesus Christ. So we want to be a tool to go there. But for us to do that, we need help. We've got a van that was bought from here. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a good van. It can... Hold. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a 3-liter engine, and it's a guzzler. Hallelujah. So We thank God that we have it. But just having it and packing it at my house doesn't mean anything. We need people who can stand with us, who can help us to put gas on this van, take 65 liters of fuel, of petrol. Hallelujah. So we need to use it. So we need people who can say, I want to partner with Thrive Church Malawi for a month or 2 months, 1 year, whatever the Lord might lead you to do. And we believe that if we do that, we will fulfill part of the commission that says, go ye unto the world and make disciples of all nations. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Pastor Tom.
So I want to put a little summary on this, and to help you identify with what's going on. Let's go through the rest of the slides, if you can go one at a time here. There are just a few. This is Pastor George Padoko and his wife Agnes. His son is named Bright. His daughters are Faith and Rejoice. He's an amazing man of God, and he loves. We have a motorcycle. In addition to the van, we were able to provide a motorcycle over there. So he goes door to door, or I would say, you know, motorcycle. He motorcycles door to door, and that's our mode of outreach to save gas when the van is so expensive to run. So that's how we're economizing in that. But he's a beautiful man of God, and we are supporting he and his family, in part so his children could go to school, which costs money there. You can't, it's not a public school, it's a private school. Next slide. This is the worship team. The leader is Aubrey, picture of him on the right. One of the things that we, Pastor has said, is that the music really draws people and attracts people. So we have this worship team. And one of the things we're looking for, the way we looked at this financial, because we know people here are facing difficulties as well, the way we broke this down is we can bring used clothing in here. We can bring used blankets. And also, if you have used musical instruments, they can use that also. Because what they do is they go out into the wherever, the parts of town or into the country with the Jesus film on a generator-run projector, and then they lead worship out there. It draws all of that draws people in, and then they deliver the gospel message. So that's how that's working. And it works pretty economically, but the worship team helps produce that sound. Next slide, and we'll just flip through these. This is a picture of the countryside. Next slide. There's a typical house in the bush, not in the city, but that's one that we visited when we were there. And to the left, they had a pig pen, and they had one pig. You know, that's how that worked. Next slide. Here's God's Hope Farm. When we were there, and Mays Mill, we worked with Pastor Brighton and his team to help him get us a corn farm started, and we bought a grain mill where they grind their own corn and make it into food for the orphans that are there and for the elderly, which I think the next slide begins to capture. Here are women bringing water to the feeding station. Next slide. There he's speaking with the children in that setting there. So he's able to speak and address the kids, teach the kids, but also feed them. When we were there, they were eating one meal a day. Is that still the situation? But our church there, Malawi Reach Out for Christ, is feeding 160 orphans and elderly on a regular basis, which is pretty amazing. Next slide. Here's some of the kids. Next slide. Next slide. I mean, if you just look at those pictures, it'll break your heart. So we're not trying to break anybody's heart here. Next slide. Here's the effect of that monsoon he was talking about in February, that this is a major highway just completely cut in two by the rushing waters. Next slide. Here's damage to the feeding station. It's just the corner of the building there is gone. The roof is collapsed in. That was from this monsoon. Next slide. There they are meeting in the damaged space, which was a sheltered feeding area. It's now missing a roof and a wall. but they go ahead and do it anyhow. So next slide. And here's one of the things I love is they love all-night worship services. So they had one 2 weeks ago. They fasted for the month.
Yes.
For the month. No food between 6 in the morning and 6 at night, fasting every day for a month. And then they had this all-night worship. So this isn't it. It was, I think, bigger than this one. But it's an example of how they love to just enter in and worship all in on a regular basis there. Next slide. And now, just highlighting where the outreach initiative is going is with the motorcycle evangelism, Jesus film, and these prayer and healing meetings. But the next slide is our needs slide. And so we just emphasize used clothing, musical instruments. The chicken broiler business, we're starting a new focus on how we're going after funding for some of this work. Some of it is beyond the reach of our church to fund. We just can't really raise that much money, generally speaking, especially now when we're all dealing with our own economic stress. So we're beginning that project by reaching out to other churches. And the total cost of the project's about $5,000, but we've already raised $1,000 from two churches, two individuals, but connected to churches. And we're going to continue emphasizing that first and looking for that help. So we're not trying to put that burden on us as a church. However, if you're interested in it, or if you think you might know a church or some other people with resources, there are sheets out there on the welcome desk. They look like this. It's got just a brief description of what we're doing with the breakdown of the project on the back. It'd be wonderful to send a few guys over there to do the building, but that's a whole nother dream. But so that keeps it simple. So Hannah, that's the summary here.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I remember one time I was having a hard time with someone in the church. I think I just gave more information than I should have given probably in our church. But anyway, I was having a hard time with somebody. This was years ago, and it was actually. I'm not just saying that. And God said, well, how do you know that when you die and you're in heaven, that they're not going to be living next door to you for eternity? And I thought, you know, I just got a lot more incentive to go work on some reconciliation and forgiveness. But what I love is seeing pictures of Christians from all over the world, because who's next door to you, or maybe you got a housemate in heaven that's already there, who knows, right? In my Father's house, there are many rooms, if you know the scripture. I just love that it's an international, heaven's international, amen? And the church is called to be that as well. So thank you so much, Pastor. And just to clarify, if you aren't aware, we give monthly to them. So when you give on Sunday mornings, we are supporting that. So everything there, you are part of the answer to prayer that for prayers that are being prayed there, as well as prayers that are being prayed locally. Amen? So it is the time to end service, and I did not get to preach my sermon, so everyone just say boo-hoo. Yay? Oh, no. Oh, gosh. You don't know what I was preaching. Listen. I'll just end with this. I think today was more of a family time. And let me tell you something. If you come next weekend, you will get so poured out on. You will get so much ministry one-on-one and group and teaching and Bible. Like, please hear that we prioritize that 100% here. But today was just supposed to be, I think, a family time. And sometimes church is family, just like a family time together. But so often we come to church to get. And have you ever, like, come here and said, okay, what's God going to give me today? And, you know, honestly, that's not necessarily fully bad, because we're called to receive. But I think today was a time to come and learn, and a time to give. And not necessarily financially, but even just our hearts. And if that's not an elephant in the room, I don't know what is. So if anyone is new here and they're wondering what is going on, we do not have a theology that involves elephants. I just want to put that out here. We're not the Israelites building calves. We're doing a sermon series right now called Elephants in the Room. And we're talking about things that make you uncomfortable. And there are some things that we're not talking about, because I just got too uncomfortable to talk about them. But we are tackling some subjects. And so Ryan Bassus will be here next week. And the theme is just Jesus. And we're just coming for Jesus. We're not coming to hear a speaker or hear a worship song or anything. We're just going to be with Jesus. And we will continue our Elephant in the Room series. I've got a whole sermon all ready to go. So when Jesus says go, we'll go there. But why don't you stand on your feet this morning? I was going to preach on humility and pride, which is a big elephant in the room. And if you don't think it is, then it's probably the elephant you're dealing with. Only a few people laughed, but that was how I was going to begin my sermon. So we'll just end it there. All right, we'll end it before we even start. But as I was listening to what Pastor Brighton was sharing, it brought humility. Anyone else feel humbled? Humbled by the need that's greater. Humbled by the power of God that's moving through Reach Out Malawi. And humbled by how God is moving around the world. And sometimes we think it's all about us, or we think we're the only one that has a solution, but we're not at all. And so, Jesus, we just thank you for opening up our eyes to see how beautiful the church is around the world, whether it's those faces of the little children that I took when I was there, or whether it's the elderly, whether it's people getting miracles, people praying for miracles, people persevering when they don't see a miracle. Whatever it is, God, you are the healer before there was a need for healing. And you are the head of the church. They're all different denominations. They're all different expressions around the world. But Jesus, it's all about you. And thank you that we can love you. We can focus our attention on you. And this week, I just thank you, God, that you're filling every heart here, Father, with a humility to see that you are the answer, to go to you as the source, not the resource, that we would be able to walk in our identities in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.